Psalm 17 is where we're going to be looking. I've always looked at it as almost like just a diary entry. You know, someone writes down thoughts in their diary. You must feel like the psalmist is just writing down his thoughts and where he's actually at, being transparent with God. And it's always been refreshing to go through the psalms. But this thought here in verse 1 of Psalm 17 is what I seek to encourage us tonight with. And he says, "Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." So he begins by saying, "Hear the right, O Lord. Hear the right, O Lord." It's not so much, even though you can say he's talking about the righteous, but it's more about just right as opposed to wrong. It's a matter of justice. And what he's crying out to the Lord is to, "Lord, hear, take heed to justice," pretty much. "Hear, Father, this cry for justice." And this is what he's crying out to God. And crying out for justice is never a bad thing or a wrong thing, so long as our expectation is not set on God answering according to our timing and our way and our thinking. There is more fear that will not hear the. One thing concerning the confidence of the psalmist when he cries out is he knew that the Lord will answer his prayers, and hence why he cries out. One commentator said that there is more fear that we will not hear the Lord than the Lord will not hear us. And we understand that there are things that can come between our direct fellowship and communication with God. We understand those things, especially concerning specifically any iniquity that is hid in our hearts. But concerning the confidence that we can actually come before the Lord, again, we don't have to worry, does God hear? It's just a matter of, is our heart right? And crying out for God to do right is not wrong. Crying out for God to do right is not wrong. And one thing, when we're crying out for the Lord to do justice, we know he loves justice. And one commentator said, "We can offer an acceptable prayer only when we are sure that it would be right for God to answer it, or that it would be consistent with perfect and eternal justice to grant our request." It is the expression of his confident assurance, even in the presence of God, that his cause was right, and that he was asking only that which it would be consistent for a just God to do. There's nothing wrong with crying out to the Lord to do right, to do right. One of the hardest things, and we've heard much preaching about it, is suffering injustice. A people of righteousness hate unrighteousness. Is that true? A God of righteousness hates unrighteousness. But as Christians, when a matter of injustice comes our way or we face it, it's hard to deal with because we know that was wrong. Well, that's not right, we'd often say or cry out in our hearts. And it's okay to come before the Lord and cry out concerning this matter of right. But again, leaving it with the Lord. Leaving it with the Lord. The psalmist also says in Psalm chapter 9 verse 4, "For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right." And elsewhere in the scriptures, it asks a rhetorical question in Genesis 18:25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Don't worry about that. We may see injustice taking place, and sadly to say, we may even see it in our churches today, and that's an absolute shame and indictment on the people of God. But don't worry, the judge of all the earth will do right, but in his timing, in his timing. He cries out, "Hear the right, O Lord." And then he goes on to say, attend unto my cry. Attend unto my cry. This word, depending on the context, is used in almost opposite ways. For example, there's a crying out of praise. It's almost like a praising the Lord out loud. This is also the meaning behind it. But in this context, it's talking about something else. It's talking about something with grief. And even in its actual definition, it's termed creaking. It's like a creak. And David's crying now. You can hear the attitude of his heart. You think about creaking. What's going on here? It's this matter of almost groaning before God in his heart. And it's a fervent cry. It's not just a basic, you know, just as we're talking in passing, nothing going on. There's something going on in David's heart here. And the Bible says that he cried out. He wants the Lord to hear his cry. It is expressive in either case, a deep feeling which vents itself in an audible manner. Here it denotes the earnest utterance of prayer. And what we're seeing here is pretty much David's earnest prayer for justice. But focusing even on this thought concerning earnest prayer, earnest praying. There's something that the Bible, well, I've heard it actually preached several times, not many a times, but several times, concerning this matter of praying in anguish. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that before when it comes to praying. We know that prayer is direct communication to God, and prayer is simply to ask, come before Him and make our prayers and supplications known unto Him. We ask things of Him. But when was the last time you came and you cried before God? Now, I'm not talking about necessarily weeping with tears. I'm talking about from the very depth of your heart, crying out to God. This is the idea behind this, this matter of crying. And when was the last time that we as a people of God, not only collectively, we can sometimes even do it privately, and that's wonderful. But it's almost like we're ashamed at times, even collectively, to just cry out to God, to cry out to God. And this is what David was doing. We see that example of our Lord and Savior. There's something amazing about testings and trials. Whatever the situation was in Psalm 17 for David, it put him in a position where he was crying out to God. We too often, when a testing and trial wants to come our way, do away with it quickly. How can we get it over and done with? That's what our natural reaction. We don't like tests and trials. We don't like feeling down, if you want to put it that way. We don't like being upset, kind of thing. But when things come our way and test us and they're weigh heavy on our hearts, don't just be quick to do away with the trial or think how we can do away with it. Come before God and cry before Him. Agonize before Him. You see, even with what our Lord Jesus Christ was about to face, the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 44, He says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And there's something about tests and trials that weigh heavy on our hearts, and they put us in this state of almost anguish, of anguish. And we come before God, and sometimes we don't know what to say, but we just maybe before Him groan and creak at Lord, and we don't know what to say. And this is the kind of praying that God always answers. This agonizing from the very depth of your heart before God and the crying out to Him. And you watch and see how more earnest, more fervent your praying will be. It won't just be a simple matter of, and I'm not undermining these things, but how we often just without thought bow our head and thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing this meal. We ask that you bless it. Bless it to our bodies in Jesus' name. And it's not to say that we don't mean those things and we're not genuinely giving thanks, but this is a matter of, again, coming in absolute steadfastness and seriousness with a burden on your heart, and you're going to cry out to God. Plain and simple, crying out to God. When trials and tests come our way or things that we are facing weigh heavy on our hearts, brethren, it's not the time to seek of how to just get rid of the heavy-hearted feeling, but come and bring it before God and agonize before Him. A prayer of anguish, I'll call it, God will hear. Psalm chapter 40, the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Notice this, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goal, and have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. This horrible pit that David was in, this miry clay that he felt he was sinking in, what did it force him to do? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. So when you get in situations, brethren, where you are just, again, it just weighs heavy on your heart, you're at a point perhaps even of despair, your spirit is just weak, it's like you have no more strength left in you, well, it's the time to come before God and cry out to Him, and cry out to Him. It's amazing how even the Lord will minister to someone even when they're in rebellion, and He can bring a certain circumstance their way and bring them also to cry out to God. The example I think of is Jonah. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 verse 1 that Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Even the Lord knows how to minister to His rebellious child and bring affliction their way. And if that child would respond right, they'd respond in this manner and come back and cry before God. But this matter of crying before the Lord, brethren, this agonizing, this anguish of heart before God is a precious thing and something we ought to be practicing. He continues to say, to give ear unto my prayer. Lord, attend unto my cry and give ear unto my prayer. And the Bible simply says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are opened unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When you walk uprightly with your God, you know there's nothing between you and the Lord, and therefore that crying out to Him will reach the very throne of grace in the heart of God. And it's simply a matter of waiting, as we saw in Psalm 40, waiting on the Lord. It's only a matter of time. And in conclusion, he says, that goeth not out of feigned lips. So hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. What it simply means here about going not out of feigned lips, this matter of feigned lips, it's lips, it's pretty much without lips of deceit. Without lips of deceit. There's no deceit at this point or in this crying out to the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, this prayer that is without deceit, take heed to, attend to, Father. That is sincere prayer that proceeds from the heart. It's an utterance of the lips that does not misrepresent the feelings of the heart. True prayer is that in which the lips do represent the real feelings of the soul. And another commentator says, feigned prayers are fruitless. Feigned prayers are fruitless. God doesn't want us to be deceitful in our prayers. You say, what does that look like? Or what does that actually mean? Well, being deceitful in your prayers, especially praying out loud, in essence makes you a hypocrite. A hypocrite. And the Lord Jesus warned against the scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites, in Matthew 23 verse 14. As a matter of fact, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Lips of deceit are detestable to man, how much more to God. This matter of deceitful praying, this hypocritical praying, is not approved of God. As a matter of fact, it's rejected of the Lord. And God forbid that we should come before God with lip service, saying all the right things like these Pharisees, like these hypocrites, but not flowing out of a sincere and pure heart. The Lord will not refuse his ear to an honest and fervent petitioner. One commentator said this: "It must be a dreadful thing to pray with lips that do not speak the truth. When men's thoughts are far away from their prayers, and they are muttering pious words, but their heart is absent, what a mockery it must be in the sight of God. A dead prayer, who will own it? Beware of dead prayers. You may dress them up as finely as you like, but if there is no life in them, what good are they?" Plain and simple. And the psalmist cries out in 119, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." With the whole heart. This matter of not feigned lips is seeking God with a pure and whole heart. Pure and whole heart. And as we come before God in prayer tonight, brethren, it was on my heart to encourage you with this little devotional thought concerning this verse, that we are a people of righteousness and ought always to cry out for right, but leaving it with the Lord, believing that the judge of all the earth will do right. But God, help us to learn what it means to cry in anguish and agonize before the throne of grace, knowing with all confidence that God will give ear unto the prayer of the righteous, so long as they're not. These words are coming out of a pure heart and not out of feigned lips. Not out of feigned lips. Amen. Amen. Amen.